This next year is going to be a year of maturity where we each find out our place. And I mean our place. And when you find it, and it may not have any glory with it, but when you find it, you were born for it. You will love it. Thank God for the message of this house, where you can find out for yourself and not have some big shot tell you who you are. Well, yeah, there's one big shot. There's one big shot. His name is Jesus. And he's the one that made you what you are. And he's the one that'll place you in his body. And boy, when you find it, it will be life to you. You'll be tired, might be exhausted, but you found your place in Christ. We're going to be doing that this year. So now we abandon all notes and prepared things, but open up to two places. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and Hebrews somewhere. I was going to teach another nice, wonderful service on the way, but that's going to be delayed. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Yeah, there it is. Hebrews chapter 5 is where we're going to be in a minute. For years and years, as a teacher in the body of Christ, and I'm talking even years before we started attending the prayer center, Sue and I were born again, spirit-filled, and serving the Lord for 12 years, best we knew how, before we came to the prayer center. And even in those days, we taught in the prisons, I'd teach at Bible studies, mostly in other people's houses in those days. But it seemed like this little passage in 1 Corinthians 3 was always my guide. And so let's pick it up here. Paul writing unto them, and he says, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, and neither yet now are you able. For you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? And the thing of it is, I've never been in a church or in really even a Bible study type group of any size, maybe 20, 30 people, where there weren't some, now to varying degrees, divisions, strifes, jealousies. Let's use a little more common terms, gossip. Okay. Do you see what she wore? You know, and then you have the nice Christians and the not so nice Christians. What I mean by that, you have Christians that people that genuinely got born again, but they came out of a good upbringing. And so maybe they were, you know, they smell nice and talk nice and acted nice because they were raised in a house with good table manners. Can I say it that way? Then you got the person that came out of a drug environment off the street. And they don't smell right. They don't know how to talk right. And their language is not good. And now you got them in. You know, you start bringing them into the same group. And then all of a sudden now people get concerned because you brought a druggie or an ex-druggie or hopefully a saved druggie into the house. What about my kids? What about this and what about that? So the watchword for years when you're teaching is to teach kind of on a baseline level where you're presenting milk so that nobody chokes on it. See, and we can all relate to that in the natural. We've all had babies or been around babies, you know, I still like once in a while, a long, tall glass of cold white milk, man, I like it. Right along with my T-bone steak. See, I like some meat. I've grown up. I don't like just milk. I like some milk along. But more, I need me a... Give me one of them steaks that's just been passed over the fire, you know. You know, and warm it up and it's ready. Well, anyway, so for years and years, the watchword has been basically... Well, let's serve on a milk level. And then every now and then we'd have some nice, really fine ground beef, you know. But see, there's another passage, and I know that we've talked about this before, but I'm telling you, prayer center, he hasn't had us in the book of Ephesians for a year to leave us like we are. And we're about to graduate from 1 Corinthians 3 to Hebrews 5. Now look at Hebrews 5 right near the end of the chapter. And we'll start in verse 12. It says, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers." Now let's stop right there. Most of you in this room, not all of you, but most of you, at least I know you well enough. Let's say it this way. I have seen you here to have some idea, a fairly good idea of what you know. If you paid attention at all, I know that you have pretty good understanding about the basic fundamental message that's taught here. The Lord could send you to Ethiopia, Kenya, Brazil. He could send you. You may have to do it through an interpreter. But most of you know, I'm looking around the room, people that I know at least what you know. Now, you may not figure you have the ability to teach it, but you might be surprised too. You might, well, maybe not like this, but one-on-one or maybe to a small group, you know. By this time, you could be teachers. What you know could change a nation. What you know can change the whole church world. What you know can change the Muslim world. You got that? By this time, you ought to be teachers. So I think it's fair as I look around the room. Most of you now, some of you might be like Sue and I that first day. We're new. This is our first day. Okay, I'm not talking about you necessarily. But, you know, for the most part. See, and the thing of it is we have milk on the shelves in there. Everything, all the fundamentals, all these things that you guys could go teach now. If you haven't heard it, it's available. The milk is there for those that need it. And I don't even really want to just call it milk. I'm talking milk, some nice ground beef, some good hot dogs along the way. There's a lot of good food. But people, we're about to go into T-bone land. We're about to go into ribeye country. Can I call it Meatville? Because Paul is talking about, or whoever really wrote the book of Hebrews, we're not absolutely sure. But he says, he's writing this letter to them, and he says, by this time you ought to be teachers. But in that group at least, he says, you've become like those that need that someone teach you again. Those things which be the first principles of the oracles of God. You become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use, use of what? Use of the strong meat. And here he's talking about the word. By reason of the use of the word, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, there should not be a chapter change here. He hasn't left the subject at all. Therefore, because that's the case now, leaving the principles, and that means the fundamentals, that means the basics, that means the, well, today's lesson I'm calling milk and some early ground meat and some hot dogs, okay? Leaving those basic things, let us go on unto perfection, and that word's better translated maturity. We're talking about babes and those that are grown up. Let us go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation. And he starts listing some of the basic fundamentals. Repentance from dead works. The fundamental principle of faith towards God. The doctrine of baptisms. And as I look at this, I'm thinking of some of the denomination I grew up in. They don't have any doctrine there of laying on of hands. And it's a major denomination. And the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment, and this we will do, and so forth. So I want you to understand there's a time and a season, and it's a proper season where you feed milk and lay foundations. But see, in this group, by this time, that phrase that got me. Hey, I'm looking around the room. What you know? By this time, you could be teachers. The information you have on the inside of you, if God was to pluck you up and plant you, you've really got the knowledge on the inside to teach all of these fundamental things. How many of you think you could explain to somebody what the praying in tongues, at least the fundamentals, what happens while you're praying in other tongues? Sure. How many of you think you could explain to somebody Christ crucified, why he was crucified? How many of you think on and on and on we could go on with these laying these fundamentals? So he says, by this time you ought to be teachers. And I think so too. So if that's the case, then isn't it time for us to go on to strong meat? As I've been, always it happens to me at the end of every year, I can't help but start thinking about what's to come. Even in my dreams, in my sleep, when I wake up, the thing that's first on my mind, yes, sir, I don't want to forget this. I had a very encouraging thing happen this week. I wasn't here Wednesday night to hear Alan's message. He wasn't here Sunday because he was in Tennessee with Dave to hear my message. So I kept eagerly waiting for it to show up where I could listen to it, you know. I got to listen to it yesterday, Alan Taylor's Wednesday night message. And I'm listening to that. And again, if you didn't hear both of them, they're at the websites. I'm listening and I'm going, I finally called him and I said, did you somehow listen to the message that I did Sunday morning? It was actually 10 o'clock Sunday morning. The message I did Sunday morning, did you listen to that before you taught Wednesday night? No. I said, you ought to go listen to it. Because I'm listening to him, and there's even so many of the same verses talking about the Holy of Holies and how the temple, how the veil was rent in two and how God's presence. And I'm going, Alan, we need to both be encouraged. Because doing this message is causing us to both hear from the same teacher. There's just no possibility that could be coincidence. Him in Tennessee and on the way back and me here doing what I'm doing. And then those two messages just come forward, one right after the other, from the same mind. I mean, it encourages me that we're headed somewhere. It encourages me, see? Well, this strong meat, there's a very interesting word here in verse 14. Strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. Everyone say, that's me. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. I heard Rick Renner do a strong teaching one time that I don't begin to have all of his notes and everything. I'm just going to tell you what I remember from it. The Greek word there for exercise is gymnazo. G-U-M-N-A-Z-O, I believe. Gymnazo. Now, there's other words that can be translated exercise. So if the Holy Spirit inspired the writer of Hebrews to use this one, there's a reason for it. That's the most extreme word for exercise found in the Greek language. It's the word that was used of the athletes preparing for the Olympics when they would, and I'm sorry we're in church, but this is what the word means. It means to exercise naked. I mean, they were, as I remember Rick Renner, he said this, his teaching on it, he went back, you know, if any of you are familiar with Rick, he goes back to the Greek of the Greek, of the original Greek, then to the ancient Greek before they had Greek. And then, anyway, I mean, you know, he really, that's his thing. He was going through there and he was talking about, especially that word was used for the wrestlers and for the boxers and those guys, and those fights many times were to the death. I mean, and you talk about preparation, your life depends on this. And the preparation time, he went through some of the things. He went back to the historical records, how these guys would come in and train from dawn till dark, how they would submit themselves to being whipped and their backs laid open so that the scars would form, so that their hide would literally be tougher. I mean, this gumnazo, the Holy Spirit using this word, why in the world would he use a word like this for nice little church people? Sweet as a lamb. Nice, wouldn't hurt a fly. And yet, how does Ephesians 6 conclude? It's sending us into warfare. Put on the whole armor of God. You're going into battle against these spiritual forces in the heavenly places. And it's not a picture like we've been taught where we're huddled down in the wilderness somewhere and the devil's attacking and we're trying to survive. No, it's a picture from the book of Joshua where the people of God have arrived on the scene and we have come to take land away from the devil and rescue all the people that are there at the same time. Well, he's saying if we're going to do that, we're going to have to leave the milk, get on the meat. But more than that, we are going to have to use the strong meat of the word to exercise gumnazo, our senses. Everyone hold out your right arm. Pat that thing. He's talking about your physical body. My physical body, I know that they tell me you can train it to where it likes exercise. I don't want to call people liars. I like to be nice. But they tell me that's possible. I mean, something about endorphins and all of this, you know. He's literally talking about, and it's more than just your physical body, but let's just start there. He says, if you're going to really operate on strong meat, that really only belongs for those people that take their senses, their five physical senses, into the gym. And they start putting their five senses through the training of the new nature to where finally even their body can tell the difference between good and evil. Now, again, I like to use nice little things in church, so I'll use this. See, my body right now thinks that Krispy Kreme donuts are health food. It does not properly discern good and evil. When it comes, I'm using something silly on purpose, okay? It thinks that that's health food, and the more we have, the better life will be. And see, that's all error. It's every bit of it wrong, but that my body actually believes that. And I have to go through a training process to retrain my body. Yes, sir. I told you about the time. Yes, sir. Man. We're going to go to Hebrews 12. We'll be there in a minute. I remember the time where yes, sir. Well, he said, read it first. I'll tell you this first, then I'll tell you what I was about to tell you. Hebrews 12. See, because what we're coming into now is the retraining. He's been feeding your spirit for a solid year here with some fairly strong meat. Fairly. But now it's time to take that word, that strong meat, go to the gym, and begin exercising our senses, which is more than your physical body. It's every part of the soul, including the intellect, the emotions, and the will, that are not yet conformed to the image of Christ. He's saying you're going to go to the gym. You're going to strip down naked. And you're going to put your understanding and your emotions through training until they agree with your new nature. And it's going to, you're not going to think it's so fun. See, I always exercise. When you haven't done it in a long time, I did it. I walked whatever. I ran whatever. I lifted weights whatever. I did good. That wasn't so bad. Till the next morning. And even my eyelids are sore. You open your eyes. You go, ow. Oh, that hurt. Oh, that hurt. Oh. I think we're going to go through some of that. And Hebrews 12 talks about it. right after it tells us, Hebrews 11 was for years my favorite chapter because it was the hall of faith. And it was listing all these giants from the Old Testament, you know, the heroes of faith. It had Abraham, it had Noah, it had Moses, it had David, and on and on and on, Sarah, and there, all these people of faith who took the word that God had for them and changed their generation with it. And they, it was great. I mean, they received good things, you know. I mean, they changed their generation. But we're starting in 12, but back up two verses, verse 39 of chapter 11. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, they received not the promise. The real promise he's talking about is the new birth. They never received it, see. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run. Now that sound like exercise to you? Let us run with, instead of patience, put steadfastness. You're not a sprinter, people. You're a long distance runner. Let us run with steadfastness. How about endurance? Y'all, does that remind anyone of a prophecy? If you haven't read it lately, as you go out from the service, look on the left side of the foyer. Endurance is the key. It was the first word we were ever given. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now look, looking unto Jesus. Why does it say that? It's not just in there for church. He is our only pattern. Until we're conformed to that image and find our place in his body, where through us he is able to do the work as though he were literally still here on the planet in his own body. He is literally here on the planet now through your body. That's why we have to look unto him, not Abraham, not really Noah. Not, although we can learn some things from them, they are not our pattern, and our mind has to be renewed to that fact. Looking unto Jesus, he is the author. He's the only one. He's the first man in 4,000 years. Did I say it right? Yeah, 4,000 years. Born without a sin nature. You've been reborn without a sin nature. Clothed in mortal flesh and anointed by the same Holy Ghost he was anointed with. That's why he said, yes, the way I'm seeing this now, when I wake up in the morning, I say, God, the world has hardly seen Christianity. The world has hardly seen what you intended. You didn't intend to have a bunch of nice, clean people in church. Although there's nothing wrong with that. You intended to have a people that had dominion over sin, dominion over sickness, dominion over poverty, dominion over every damnable thing that the curse brought. A people that could not be pushed around by money, could not be bought, could not be seduced. A new breed, a new species of human that draws its breath from the very life of God himself. Yes, walking in mortal flesh, taking dominion over flesh. Your mortal body shall not have dominion over you. I don't care how much it likes Krispy Kreme donuts. And I'm just using that, you know. You say, well, I'm just weak and powerless and I'm just barely saved and I'm not sure I am saved. It depends on what you preach, whether I believe I'm saved. Depends on whether it's a good service or a bad service. Well, you got to get past that. See, it's easy. We all kind of like to pet ourselves. Yeah, he showed me a picture of me sitting on the couch watching TV with a big box of Krispy Kreme donuts. And yes, I'm on my way to heaven. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glad you died for me. That's the church. Fat. Lazy. And wrongly trained. Believing lies that are not the truth. Hmm. The reason I said that, go to Hebrews 12, I was fixing to tell you about one of the early trainings that he did for me. See, because he says here, in looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But see, then it talks about, in order to be conformed to that image, we have to yield to the Father's teaching. The Father instructs, just like you had an earthly parent. Did you have an earthly father? Most of us had parents that if you did wrong, there was consequences. I'll say it that way. In my days, there was paddling. Nowadays, I think there's timeout or something. But if I agree. Anyway, in my day, but there was consequences. Well, that's in the flesh, you know. But the Father of our spirit, He trains you in your spirit. He's trying to nurture your spirit to be the strongest part of you. Stronger than your spirit is supposed to have dominion over your soul. Your spirit is supposed to have dominion over your body. Then your spirit is supposed to have dominion over sickness and over sickness in other people's bodies. It's time to go to strong meat, people. So he tells you here about the training of the Father. He says, verse 5 of chapter 12, "You have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you're rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges." Doesn't that sound terrible? "He gives a whooping to every son he receives." Now, religion will tell you, yeah, he does that through car wrecks and cancer. Well, how many earthly parents did that to their kids? No, he does not. He is the Father of your spirit, and he corrects you in your spirit. You can't tell a lie and not get spanked. You know, you guilt, man, will come on. If you're tender at all towards the Lord, you can't tell a lie. You can't sit through that movie. You know what I mean? That movie. Not all movies, but that one. You got to get up and walk out. Get your money back if you can. Otherwise, you're going to get a spanking. Spiritual spanking, I'm talking about. Guilt. You know? He corrects you. So if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. Say out loud, corrected us. He is correcting me. See, he is correcting me. And we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit. Now here it is. You can summarize it here. Why is he doing that? What is this chastening all about? That we may be partakers of his holiness. I'm glad you're saved. We preach normally saved, you know, saved from what? Well, normally we preach saved from hell. And that's true. But the more I read the New Testament, the more I understand, you know what he really came to save you from? Came to save you from sin. Came to save you from sickness, poverty. Came to save you from everything that is the curse. And then you get to go to heaven. Glory to God. Then you get to come back to a new heaven and a new earth. Hallelujah, see? What he really intended that the world has never seen was a species of human that has dominion over sin, dominion over sickness, can't be bought with money, can't be seduced by anything in this world. Who would that look like? That would look like Jesus. And that's what he's after us to do. I remember one of the early trainings he gave me. I told you before, and I'm going to close here pretty quick. This is a short one today. I was raised in a house. A normal meal was a big chunk of meat of some kind, roast beef, pork, something. Big chunk of meat, a glob of white mashed potatoes, splat. Either good cream gravy or that good brown gravy, you know. And three green beans. And of course, I was good to finish my meal, except, of course, I couldn't eat all those green beans. I mean, yeah, I never finished all of them. Well, when I got to be in my 40s, and we was attending the prayer center. I was praying and just doing the message that's taught here. Part of why you're doing that message, part of what you're praying, you're downloading instructions from your Father. And He's going to start correcting you in areas where you're off. Now, this is a very simple one. Because where He's going to correct us this next year is in more in the areas of anointing. Okay? But it doesn't start there, people. But let's talk about that. Well, He started correcting me. And I heard this just as plain, and I could have ignored it. I heard it just as plain. He says, I want you to not eat any meat for 40 days. I rebuked that devil at first. I knew that had to be a devil, couldn't be God. No, not really. I knew it was him. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't immediately obey it. But He didn't immediately stop telling me either. See, when you start hearing from Him, you only have two options. You're either eventually going to have to do it or you're going to have to quit praying. Because He's not going to leave you alone about it. I've tried. No, now. Okay. Yes, I have. I've tried dropping out of prayer for a while. How long is a while? That's none you. None your business. You can drop out of prayer for 2 or 3 months. Not that I ever did. Yeah. You can drop out of prayer and they go, oh yeah. And usually you didn't really consciously do it. You didn't like, okay, I'm going to stop praying for 3 months. Suddenly you wake up and you go, when did I pray? And it's been a while. And you know, part of you is hoping when you start praying again, surely He's forgot about that. You won't be praying 5 minutes. I want you to go 40 days without eating meat. Well, I did it. I finally did it. And He meant, and I couldn't cheat either, you know, like He meant stuff that tastes like meat a lot, like, you know, eggs. And He just wanted me to eat vegetables and fruits pretty much for 40, you know, horrible, horrible. I thought that was never, no chastening at the time seems joyous. Hand me another celery stick. Oh God, not another broccoli casserole. Sue was so good to me. She would do her best. Sue is an excellent cook, and she would cook broccoli casseroles and zucchini casseroles, and she was doing her best to make it taste good, but my taste buds have been trained for more than 40 years. Give me meat. And there was no meat. That was the longest 40 days of my life. I was counting down the hours. The minutes. Glory to God. Get in the car, baby. We're headed to the hamburger house. You know. But after I got back to eating my normal food, going back to eating after that was over, I don't know, it was about a week into it, maybe a few days into it. One day I came to Sue and I went, Sue, honey, baby, would you fix me one of them broccoli casseroles? She looked at me and went just like this. Who are you and what did you do with my husband? Get behind me. Who are you? Come out. He had done something. See, and I didn't know it would work, but He knew it would work. He did something on the inside of me. I literally, now I'm still, I like my meat, but I crave vegetables now. I actually eat salads. Think about it. Without a chicken on it. Still not my favorite, but I do crave them. And I cook my own eggplant. Hey, little Parmesan. Yeah, it's good. I like it. Now, that's a real simple, practical example that we can all relate to. The kind of things He's bringing us into this year, I keep hearing this phrase. I'm just going to go ahead and share it with you. I don't want to box myself in or Him in. But I keep hearing, for me personally, the kind of training that's coming this year, I'm supposed to have in my mind when I stand before you, like there's a banner over the door when you come in. School for new creatures. That's it. No religion. Not gonna hold your hand. We're gonna deliver truth. And I pray to God you don't choke on it. And some probably will. And there's a lot of good churches in town. There really is. Lots of places. A lot of good churches, too. I'm not saying they just serve milk, either. A lot of good churches. But I know what my part. We're going to be serving up T-bone. Filet mignon. But we are not going to go another year the same. Yes, sir. I'll finish you with this. Go to Ephesians 6 again. Wait. All the rest of the armor hinges on the first piece. And this is what he's talking about. He's given me a message that I've been carrying around now. This is the second or third service where I brought it with me that I can't teach yet. Because I think I had to do this first. Because it's going to be tough not to choke on some of this. Because religion is sometimes very soothing. Well, what's that word they use? You're empowering somebody to stay on drugs, you know? Enabling, that's the word I'm looking for. Religion is very enabling and allows you to stay the same. And see, the thing of it is, you're going to have to hang on to everything, all the fundamentals. He loves you. He's got your picture on his refrigerator. He loves you. He really does. But see, if we're going to win this war and put on this armor, verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Now that's where it starts. All the rest of the armor hangs on that belt. And if the foundation is not truth, if it's still religion, then it has to go. No matter how enabling it's been, no matter how comforting it's been, truth is the only thing that's going to win this war for us. Let me say it a little different way. We have got to believe what God said. What he said we became at the new birth, that is truth and nothing else is. How many of you are ready for some T-bone? All right. Keep coming this year. Keep coming. Well, Father, I think that's all you really wanted me to say today. Lord, for me, I tremble a little bit not knowing what's coming. But Father, I know we all want you to have your way in the earth. Jesus said to pray this way, Father, your kingdom come. Your will be done on this planet, just like it's already being done in heaven. Father, that's what we're after. So, Father, have your way with us. We are your children enrolling in your school to be corrected by our Father. And we're ready for the chastisement so that we no longer be children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but that we can grow up to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. Father, grow us up. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody says, Amen. Amen.